Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you all week? Woo! We had a big week over here on the Due Time with Pastor Steph. We started off Monday shaking the Monday morning blues with the Due Time crew. And we talked about things that married people miss about being single. Yes. And we talked about, you know, people forget how good it felt to eat whatever it is you want to eat for dinner. Yes. You know, you have to plan those things sometimes, or ask, you know, your husband or your wife, you know, what is it you like to have for dinner tonight? You know, well, we were just accustomed to just grabbing a pizza and calling it a night, but we can't do that anymore. What about things staying where you left them? Oh, that is a biggie. I miss being able to just put my, you know, my piece of paper on the coffee table or on the dining room table, and, you know, knowing where it is when I'm, you know, ready to come back to it. And somebody said, not anymore. What about coming and going as you please? Now that is also something that sometimes takes a slight adjustment. I know you can't just up and go and do what you want to do and not, you know, have to make a phone call or not have to worry about saying where you've been. You know, just common courtesy, just to let somebody else know where you are. Okay, so those are just a few of the things that, you know, some married people say that they miss, you know, being single. Yes, there is an adjustment. Well, the list is quite extensive, so we will continue this conversation next Monday, God said. So, you know, we could not properly finish a Monday morning without the switch tip with Shanti. And this week, remember, be different. You know, peculiar people is what we're being called. Yeah, because let me tell you something. If you really want to step out and be different and do what God says, well, you know what? Let's backtrack a little bit. Once you do what God says, once you really, I'm serious, I'm really seeing how different we are in this world, when you actually decide to give your life to Christ, man, talk about looking peculiar and being different. Man, you really look like the oddball. They have really made something out of the norm being dysfunctional and the dysfunctional being normal. Yes, you really look twisted when you are living by the standards of God, because everybody has conformed to the way of the world. Everybody has made what the world does so normal that even Christian people feel weird when they're not doing what the world does, even though God said do something else. Man, I really encourage you, on top of that switch tip, I advise you to go back and listen, because it was an excellent one. Remember, please remember to be different. Oh, my goodness. Well, let's talk about it. Tuesday rolls around, church folk day. And we talked about the gunman who went into the church and had this vendetta against the Taiwanese individuals in church, because he had a personal experience with living in Taiwan. He didn't like the way he was being treated from China. We talked about the gunman in Buffalo who shot up the supermarket with all the African-American people. We talked about the gunman who rolled up into the hair salon and shot the three Asian women. Why is there so much hatred in this world? We really talked about how, you know, people have really just taken their life and how they feel and how they think into this world. And now it's not enough to just live unhappily. And, you know, you can't do it anymore. You got to kill people. If you ain't kill people, you ain't getting nothing. Yeah. So I'm telling you, there's a lot of hatred flowing around in this world. And we really got to get on the Lord's side, because what we did talk about was we're only a second from being them. We're only a second away from really going postal on people. So we really got to develop a really close relationship with the Lord, so that we do not conform to this way of thinking. I'm not even going to talk about whether we're victims or not, because I think, you know, despite the fact that there are more victims, you know, as we go on in this world, that we need to pay more attention to the fact that we are not postal. We are not that angry. We're, because people are really doing things to us. We're really going through some things, and we really can become like that. We really can. Only the hand of God keeps us from being like everybody else. Really. And I think we need to pay attention to that. All righty. Well, wow, Wednesday rolled around and we had our girlfriend Vivian open up our morning, as always, with her socially conscious segment. And we talked about those COVID numbers going up and away, except for New York State. Thank you, God. We had a drop. So we're going to pray that you keep those masks on and be careful. Be careful out there so you're not spreading this virus. We talked about the fact that, you know, there's going to be a new location that the FDA is going to help to reopen so that the formula, the baby formula, can start they can start manufacturing that baby formula again, and we can get these babies fed properly, get them healthy. Because I'm telling you something, they can't afford. They cannot afford to be physically deficient, because already we are breeding mentally and emotionally deficient people. So listen, as Shanti always says, you really can't have more than one struggle. We need to get these kids fed, because if that'll help to stimulate some brain cells going in the right direction, we need to do whatever it is we can do to get that done. Well, the ladies were in the house, and they helped us with, you know, thinking about the things to do when we're at the end of our rope. Yes. Because that's what's been happening. People have been getting to the end, and they just been falling off. So, you know, they did a fantastic job with reminding us to just take a deep breath and calm down. You know, sometimes you have to think about it. It just ain't that serious. You know, we can't always tell someone else when it's not that serious, but we can definitely assess in our own, you know, situation if it's just that serious or not. Yes? Okay? Now, we also talked about the fact that just walk away. You know, wait, somebody got to be the first one to stop talking. Somebody's got to be the bigger person. Just walk away. And if we walk away, we have a chance to regroup, to think about some things, to go and play with our kids, which was another suggestion. Focus on our blessings. We can do if we just take the time to step away and definitely pray, and be grateful. Okay? So please, let's get to some fun, because that's what's going to really help us. Okay? Well, yes, was one of my favorite cities. And we get ripped from the headlines. Baby. Did we talk about some people? Well, one of the things we talked about was mind your own business. You know, a gentleman went into a brand new job with three fingers missing on one hand. And why were people in his face asking him what happened to his hand? Well, I mean, you see what I'm talking about? You see what I'm talking about? How this world has changed? What happened to that being a private matter? Why must you know? Well, clearly, they didn't know what to do with themselves because they were around the water cooler fussing and fighting about who really knew the real true Hollywood story as to how he lost his fingers, because he told everybody a different story. Well, serves you right, because if you were minding your business, it wouldn't have happened. You wouldn't have been a part of the main race. Okay? All right. What about the the sabotaging of the food because your younger sibling would not help and demanded you help, and got the parents on board who was always bothering her about helping, about doing for him, when all he did was be a nice stinking brat. Well, she started putting stuff in the food, not charging it in the way that nobody could eat it, but she just included items in the food that he didn't like. So when she made the brownies that he refused to help make, that he demanded she make, sure, I'll make the brownies. She put some nuts in it. Well, he didn't like nuts. All right, so that's what she started doing. And the D-Time crew said, serve him right. That's what he did. Okay. Well, what about inviting the bully to dinner? Yes, Dad had a dinner party, invited the bully to dinner and invited her or him, didn't really say, to the dinner as well. And when the bully was reminded that he was the bully when he was a kid, Dad got angry. Well, why would Dad get angry? Dad knew that he was a bully to begin with. And now Dad wants you to go to lunch so that Julian can now apologize for being the bully. well, we had a mixture of, and that's what I love, we had a mixture of responses. Some of the due time crew said, yes, I've gotten past, I've forgiven, and I've done it. And then you got the other side of the due time crew that said, no, thank you. I just ain't doing it. And you got another one who says, hey, I forgave you, but I'm not going to lunch. Listen, I've just been required to forgive, and my heart is pure and clean. I don't have any malice, but guess what? I'm sitting at the table with you. It just ain't going down like that. So we had a battle of laughs yesterday. Yesterday was one of the funniest days we've had in a long, long time over here on this Deep Time with Pastor Steph. So we've had a phenomenal week up until today. You know, so we're looking forward to today being Freestyle Friday. And we get to do whatever we want to do over here. Well, whatever we want to do is listen to the men. So we're hoping that they join us with their listening ears on today, because we've got some stuff to talk about and to get their opinion on. Okay? So make sure you take this break and tell a friend. Make sure you take this break and, you know, tell somebody it's due time with Pastor Steph is on, and make sure you go nowhere, because we will be right back.
Anybody.
Anybody.
Anybody can have a stroke.
And anyone.
Anyone.
Even you can prevent a stroke-related death.
Someone has a stroke every 40 seconds.
Every 40 seconds.
140,000 people die each year from a stroke.
140,000.
But you.
You.
You can put a stop to that death count by remembering FAST.
FAST. The acronym FAST.
S. Face.
Ask the person to smile. Is there a droop in one side of their face?
A is arms.
Ask the person to raise both their arms. Does one of them drift down?
S.
S. Speech. Speech. Ask the person to repeat
a simple phrase.
Is their speech slurred or strange? AST.
Time.
If any of these signs occur, call 911 immediately.
Immediately.
Remember FAST.
FAST.
And spread the word.
Repeat.
Repeat.
Repeat. Repeat. Repeat. Repeat. Repeat. Repeat. Repeat.
Good morning, good morning, and good morning to you. Welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Freestyle Friday over here. Yes. And God has been extremely, extremely good to us as we have come to the end of the week. Okay, we've come to the end of the week, and we are we are really very happy and appreciative that God has done, you know, has done a great job at doing what he does and giving us another chance to get it right. Yeah. Just thinking, y'all. Just thinking. Just thinking. Just thinking about how good God is. Just thinking about how good God is. You know, just taking some time to think about how, you know, other people didn't make it. But we did. But we did. God saw to it that we did. And what are we going to do to let God know that he has been so good to us? You know, are we going to act like a bunch of brats and complain? Or are we going to just be appreciative to God and show him how much we appreciate? Not just say it, but just show how much, you know, we appreciate what he's doing for us and what he's done for us. So let's give God thanks. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to be a little mild today on the, you know how I start off on our mornings. And I'm going to just talk about how you can make some do-it-yourself wipes. Yeah. You know, we spend so much money in these Clorox wipes. And there's actually ways we can do this on our own. And, let's see. So get them pens up. Okay. So, we can either use alcohol, regular isopropyl alcohol, hydrogen peroxide, or household bleach. And, you know, it's not as rare to get these things. Remember when the pandemic first started, we couldn't get our hands on alcohol, and they were charging like $5 a bottle. We couldn't find any bleach. So we really were stocking up on the Clorox wipes. Well, those days are gone, thank God. And we can get those things in our grocery stores or our stores or the drug stores. And they're saying that as long as the alcohol is at a concentration of at least 60%, remember we talked about that yesterday, that 50%, you can use the 50%, but not for like real things that you're really looking to clean. So as long as it's at 60%, or the hydrogen peroxide is at least 3%, they say those things should be fine to use on its own. Yes, you could use them by itself. Bleach would be needed. You need to dilute the bleach. Yeah, you can't go full bleach. And they say in either a solution of 5 tablespoons of bleach into a gallon of water. All right, so, you know, I would think that you just buy, you know, take yourself 99-cent bottle of water, add those 5 teaspoons of bleach, and yo, you got it going on. Okay, they say, or 4 teaspoons of bleach can be mixed into a quart of water. So either way, once you make that mixture, you know, you are good to go. Okay, so they say you can use paper towels as wipes. They say the capillaries in the paper towels will soak up the solution, and you can use it like, you know, normal, like you use a wipe. They say you can even use an old disinfected wipe container to store your wipes. So you know how you empty out the container? Well, make your solution, take your paper towels, you know, soak them in the thing, and then drop them in there, and they'll stay, you know, good. Okay. Now, they say it would be really good if you did that with alcohol, because it evaporates quickly. So you need to, you know, make sure you do that, you know, hold it in one of those containers, okay? So they're saying that doing it like that really should be equivalent to a Clorox wipe, okay? So make sure, they say, when you're using, like, the peroxide or bleach, you don't, when you're wiping up, see, one thing about the Clorox wipes, they've made it where we can use it pretty much on anything. But if you, needless to say, if you're using bleach or peroxide, it can tarnish or damage your furniture. So, or whatever you're wiping down. So be careful that you don't leave that on without, you know, just kind of wiping it down and maybe taking some clear paper towel with water and wiping that down. And make sure that you don't use it where it's, you don't make the wrong mixture and now the bleach is too strong. And make sure you do not mix these chemicals. You don't want to mix up this stuff. You don't want nobody finding you passed out. Okay? All right. So don't say Pastor Steph didn't teach you how to save some dough. Because that can definitely be cheaper than going the Clorox wipes method. All right. Well, what are we talking about today? Now, none of my men are on, so there's a potential I have to repeat myself, and I ain't too happy about that. But I can't hold up my listeners. So what are we talking about today? Well, let's see. What's a lighter side that I can just talk about it and I'm not, I don't even have to. Oh, okay, here we go. So yesterday we talked about the young lady who, you know, freed the inmates, you know, like Harriet Tubman freed the slaves. And we talked about, you know, what she could have, you know, been told, you know, to help, you know, her make the decision to help these people escape. And we talked about the woman, you know, who was caught last week but ended up dying as she was trying to help an inmate escape. Well, we've got another situation where an inmate was being returned to face drug charges. He escaped from an employee who was transporting him while the officer went to get some food for the inmate. So they say Tyler Martinez, 31, was being extradited from L.A. to face multiple drug charges to this Brown County. And he escaped from the transport employee about 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Tuesday while they were in the Chicago airport awaiting a connecting flight to this location. Now, they say Martinez fled when the employee who was transporting him was purchasing the inmate, you know, purchasing him some food. Now, they suspended the employee and because they want to do some investigating. Now, we don't have to figure out why they want to do some investigating because, see, so the story is told, I went to get you some food and you escaped or he escaped. So they say he left the terminal in a car rental company shuttle bus. Woo! And they saw this on the video at the airport. And he was seen wearing the last, you know, the clothes he was picked up on. And he didn't have a phone. So they're trying to locate him. Now, they're saying that they're having pending charges against him. They have 3 drug felonies, which is the possession of cocaine, possession of methamphetamine, and possession of a narcotic drug. And he faces 2 misdemeanor charges of possession of an illegally obtained prescription and one of drug paraphernalia. He's also suspected of auto theft and burglary to some storage units. And they had issued a warrant for his arrest when he didn't show up to court to face these charges. So they say that this county, they don't pay the contractor until the inmate is delivered to the jail. So you get paid when you drop off the inmate, almost like a bondsman, you know. But they don't, at least the bondsman gets like a money before. Well, we don't have to figure out why these people are really going to ask some questions here, because they really want to know, was this some accident? And you know what? You really got to ask that question, you know, based on all the stuff that's going on. Every time you turn around, you know, you hear these people breaking out these inmates. So you know that all of this stuff is going on. How did you have this guy, how did you have him subdued that he got out? How? Because I can't imagine if he got handcuffs on, he was able to get away. Does that even make sense? Nah. So this is one of the reasons why they suspended his butt. Because they're saying that they say the Chicago police, after watching the video, determined that he had freed at least one of his cuffed hands by the time he left the terminal. How were you able to do this? You ain't even got a phone. So how are you going to have something else that's going to help you get out of some handcuffs? Okay, that's already questionable. See, this is why ain't nobody getting paid. So now you know you getting suspended, because they're not even going to pay. So they didn't pay for the airline tickets and all of this kind of stuff. Now they got to pay to fine him, and they're not even getting paid from the county for delivering the inmate, because they ain't never delivered the inmate. As my mother would say. Well, some sadder news. We've got this family who was murdered, and then it subsequently became a murder-suicide. So they say the bodies of four family members, including a young child as young as 4 years old. She was 4 years old. They were all found in a Texas apartment after the husband, the ex-husband, you know, well, he was on his way to being an ex. Yeah, they have found out that the husband and the wife, you know, he was estranged, and they had been going through some divorce proceedings. And this has been going on for a few months now. And, you know, there had been some other ongoing issues, including allegations that he had harmed the young daughter. So before they knew it, she was on her way to leave the house with the little girl when he bum rushed her, shot her, the little girl, the little 4-year-old, shot the mother who was inside of the house, and then turned the gun on himself and murdered himself. Now, it's one thing if you're going to shoot the mother, because you're going to shoot the baby too. Again, we ask, why is there so much hatred in this world? The baby didn't do anything. The baby did nothing. So why would you shoot the baby? What does the baby have to do with anything? And it goes back to what everybody talked about yesterday when the 20-year-old drove the baby up to turn himself in and left the baby in the car in the 80-degree weather, and the baby subsequently died. Well, the panel believed that he was trying to really kill the baby, because why would you take a baby to turn yourself in and leave the baby in the car and never tell the police that the 8-month-old baby was in the car? I don't know. Well, they definitely thought it was going to be that was definitely intentional. Definitely thought that he was trying to kill a child, you know. And you think about it, you know, again, why are these children suffering for what's going on between you and your life, you and your, you know, partner, ex-partner, whatever you want to call it, spouse? Why do the children have to suffer? So at the end of the day, you really don't love these kids, because if you did, you would leave their life intact. Now, she's 4. So unfortunately, you know, if you killed the mom and killed yourself, she no longer has parents. So, you know, her life is not going to be, you know, peachy keen, but at least she'd have a life. She didn't ask to come here. You know, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with these people. Well, you got this teen killer who's serving a life sentence. She's been charged with running a $2 million COVID relief scam from behind bars, y'all. Yes. Now, this Natalie DeMola, 37, she's been in jail for a minute now, and she's behind bars serving this life sentence, and she's being accused with obtaining some personal identification of some people and pretending to have this COVID relief issue going on. Yes. Now, I'm still trying to figure out how she did this. They say that she got personal identity information of other inmates in the prison where she was incarcerated and their visitors. Now, that's the part that's questionable. And handing them to her conspirators to file for unemployment relief funds during the pandemic. Remember, they were giving all that unemployment benefits out? Well, she had hooked up with somebody in the jail, needless to say, because how else would she get all this information? And this is while she's been serving a life sentence at a California institution since 2005, when she and her boyfriend were convicted of first-degree murder for beating her mother to death at their home. Now, she was 16, he was 17, and they had plotted to kill the mother because she objected to them dating. So she's been in jail all this time. So while she's in jail, she hooks up with another inmate. And when this inmate was paroled in July of 20, that's when this whole $2 million process started of identity theft. So, again, she hooks up with someone in the prison who has access to all these people's information, all the inmates' information. They have access to some personal information of their visitors. Now, we know that that person would have date of birth and the social security numbers for the inmates, but how would you get information from, you know, about their visitors? So she, what they would do was she would give that information to the person who was paroled. They would fill out the unemployment information, call in or whatever you do apply, and they would check that the person was not incarcerated. Well, needless to say, because remember, when you get unemployment, you're supposed to be ready, willing, and able to work. So if you're incarcerated, you ain't ready, willing, and able to work. So 5 of the 13 individuals, man, they made this a huge process. So, yeah, because, see, now people got to get this money. So I guess they had her books running well, and all the ones on the outside was living well, because you're talking about $2 million. $2 million. You can run the scam for two. So you're talking about her. You're talking about the one who was hooking them up with the information. You're talking about that initial one who was giving the information on the outside, and all the people who were applying and who was getting the money. Oh, my goodness. They had one huge racket going. So you think about 13 people sharing $2 million. Well, if you in jail, whatever you got coming on your book out of this $2 million, you doing the thing. Because you ain't got nothing to worry about. Because everybody getting hooked up, including your books. And it doesn't take a whole lot to fill your books. So you having a party on the inside. You are having a natural party. And all these people who you are claiming benefits for, look at the potential of them not being able to file for unemployment later, because now you have already claimed for them. Man, I tell you, people got, see, you got too much time on your hands just to sit there and think about all of this stuff. You got too much time on your hands. Okay. Well, really quickly, I want to just mention that there's a little girl who is 8 months old. Now, her family has a fire pit, and they were using the fire pit the night before. Well, the next day, everybody's in the yard. Everybody's having a good time. And lo and behold, she's in her walker. Her and some other children were in the backyard playing, along with the parents. The parents were there. And somehow or another, they turned away from her. And her little walker fell into the fire pit. And her face and her body on one side is all burned all over. Mom says, you know, she was trying to hug her, pick her up, but she couldn't because she had all of those burns all over her. Now, I was trying to figure out, what did you mean when you said she fell in a fire pit? Well, when they showed a picture of it. So It's in their backyard, and they dug a hole in the backyard. Now, I don't know what they were using this pit for, but it's grassy there. And in the middle of the grass, they dug a hole. And I don't know what they're using it for, but he was stacking wood Mom is in the backyard doing whatever she's doing. And now the baby is not being looked after, and she falls into the pit. And she's got second-degree burns on that side of her body. So, you know, we want to, what's her name? The little Thea. We want to lift her in prayer because, you know, she's badly burned at such an early age. You know, and when you have to go, we talked about this before, when you got to go through all these little skin grafts and, you know, things like that on her little body, you know, that's a lot of pain. It's a lot of pain. They say it's very painful. I've gone through that process, not for the same reason, but it is extremely painful. And it's just sad please, you know, you may not have a fire pit in your house, but please pay attention, you know, to the things that you have around the home and your backyard. You know, now we're, you know, it's the summertime and the pools, you know, children are around the pool. Please pay attention so that these babies don't suffer unnecessarily. Accidents happen. You know, we're not saying that accidents don't happen, but, you know, mom is saying, you know, they thought that being that it was the night before, so they may have been cooking, like grilling over this fire pit, because she mentioned that the coals were still hot. And I don't know if you know, ever noticed, but I've grilled and like not poured water over the coals. And the next day I would go out and look inside of the grill, and those coals are still burning hot. So that's, I guess they didn't pay attention, and she said they thought that the coals were out. So throw some water on your coals so that, you know, you don't have any kind of an accident. You know, this is just their accident. But let's be very careful when we're doing this summertime thing, because, you know, it gives more room for accidents to happen. Okay, all right. Let's say good morning to our gentleman, and we're gonna say good morning to our brother Al. Good morning, brother Al.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. How you doing? How you doing?
I'm well, thank you. How are you, brother Al?
Hey, I'm feeling good. The good Lord tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Get on up." So I got up. So I'm doing okay. I'm doing great. And you know, I got to start off with my morning quote. So my morning quote this morning is, "The greatest glory in living lies not in, I'm sorry, the greatest glory in living lies not in never falling, but in rising every time we fall." That's by my man, Nelson Mandela.
All righty. We'll take that one. Thank you so much for that encouragement, Brother Al.
Oh, yeah.
This morning, we're talking about the inmate. He's not an inmate. They are calling him.
He was a future inmate.
He was being returned from L.A. to this Brown County, and his transporter stopped during their layover. He goes to get them something to eat. Well, the inmate something to eat. And while he's getting him something to eat, the guy escapes. And they say that when they look on the video, they show that he managed to get one of his hands free from being handcuffed. So now this guard, if you will, this transporter, it has been suspended, and they're investigating. And you can see why, because we've been talking about, you know, these inmates who have been set free by the workers. So they ain't just going to assume that this guy just happened to get away. They're going to think that you might have something to do with this escape. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. He lucky they got suspended. I would have fired him because you allowed a criminal to escape. And what happened, these guys get lax. You know, they get too relaxed. Okay, we got them handcuffed. And, okay, let's just do this. He wouldn't have got not a drop of food. You will eat when I get you to that prison. Once we get there, do you have all the food you want? And like you said, we've been talking about it. So you never know if they was in on helping him. You know, because I'm like, how do you get his hand out of the handcuff? I've been handcuffed before. That's not an easy job to get out of it. So you didn't mess around and put him too, you didn't put him too loose, or you didn't put it on at all. So you have to investigate his behind.
Absolutely, Brother Al. I got to tell you, that's where my head went. I'm like, I remember them putting those handcuffs on me. The most uncomfortable feeling I've ever had. I couldn't figure out, you know, if my brain went on that, how I would have possibly gotten out of those handcuffs. So how in the world are you going to, you're transporting him. You're transporting this man. How did you, you know, do this where he was able to get away? So, yeah. Oh, yeah, they're questioning you. And I'm with you.
Right.
You would have gotten fired.
And I'm wondering, did they handcuff him in the front or in the back? Because you're supposed to handcuff the criminal from the back. If you do handcuff in the front, that's you put the handcuff in the front and their feet, when a chain go to their feet to their hand. So I'm wondering, did y'all handcuff them? You know, how did y'all do it? Yeah, something sounds a little fishy here.
Yeah, it does. It does. It's very questionable. So, you know, like you said, he's lucky for suspension because I personally would have fired him too because, you know what, you were lax, and this person is someone we're extraditing. So he can't be trusted already. So you were already lax. You went to sleep on the job. You don't need no job.
Exactly. Let me tell you, I used to work with the armored car, the money truck. I used to work with the money truck. And if you got robbed, you were the number one suspect. You know, they would give you a lie detector check. They were putting you under the light because they don't know if you. And what's so crazy about it, majority of the hit was with the person who was driving, who worked for the company.
Wow. Okay. Well, that makes sense. Again, that makes sense. Because how you are guarded, a lot of people are not going to take a chance on messing with people like that. It's not easy to access the money. So, yeah, I would think that you would be the first one that would be looked at. And, again, because all of these, you know, breakouts from, you know, the inmates have been accomplished because there have been people on the inside that's helping, you're the first person that they're thinking about. You're the first person they're looking at. So that didn't surprise me at all. I'm surprised, like you said, he didn't get fired because I definitely would have got rid of his butt. Definitely. All right, Brother Al. We're talking also about this teen killer who, you know, she was convicted of murdering her mama along with the boyfriend because she didn't approve of their dating. And while she's inside, she's got this 13-member team together running this $2 million COVID unemployment relief scam from right behind bars. Again, we're talking about an inside job because how in the world would she be able to get the information about the inmates and not just the inmates, about their visitors? So they found out that she did get some help getting Social Security numbers and all the information she needed from somebody working on the inside. What is it about these people, Brother Al, that they don't like their job no more, that they're willing to risk their job for money, sweet talk? What is happening? I don't get it. I don't get it.
It's that mental health again. You know, we go back to that because for you to be on a job, and I remember we had some stories where the person been on the job 20 years, 22 years, and you gave all that up to try to do something slick and get money, and then you get caught. you know. And I'm listening to this, and it's so funny because I said that before when I was speaking to some people with this COVID thing. I said, oh, yeah, they're going to be definitely some scams because it's the perfect scam because you got people that's terrified, they scared, they don't know what to do. So all you had to do was come up with that plan, and you was going to get paid. And I'm listening, you know, and then for you to you said that she killed her mother, right?
And her, right.
Her and the boyfriend killed the mother. And, you know, that's another thing that's been a lot that we've been hearing in these stories, that these people are killing the parents and babies. It's like, y'all don't care. You know, I'm a parent. So you making me get ready to strap up just in case my kids get any ideas. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, it's a lot of parents. You look at the story, it's a lot of people killing their parents. Like, it's no respect for the person who gave you birth anymore.
Yep.
It's like, you know, I'm going to have to strap up and let my kids know. Y'all come up in here. I'm going to turn the lights off. I'm having my infrared glasses. Hey, come on up in here. Y'all want to play? We don't play. But again, it's like you say, people hear this and they don't think it through. All they hear is, oh, we can do this and we can make this money. And that just going their mind, shoot, I'm getting paid this. I can get this lump sum. Not looking at the technology that they have. You're going to get caught with the technology that they have today. There's no perfect crime. None.
No, not at all, Brother Al. They are really, you know, you may not get caught today. You may not get caught tomorrow. But you surely going to get caught. And at the end of the day, see, here's why they're stupid. Here's why you working in this place, giving up this information, why you're stupid. This girl has been in jail since 2005 as a teenager. This woman is 37 and she is serving a life sentence. She ain't never getting up out of there. You giving up your job, your livelihood, what's happening to your family while you helping somebody who ain't got no future? They ain't got no future.
Right, she ain't got nothing to lose.
Right. So you giving up your future. Now, the one who got paroled, who she was giving the information to, you another idiot. You got paroled, so you know you on, you know, you walk in a fine line. You get out in July of 2020, and immediately you're in trouble because, again, for a person who ain't got nothing to lose, you giving up all your freedom. What a dope.
They're all going to be cellmates. They wanted to join her. That's what it was. She wanted to join us.
Yeah.
Y'all going to be cellmates.
Yeah, they were dumb. They were straight dumb. Thank you for joining us, Brother Al. We're actually going to talk about something that you just brought up in a minute. We'll be back. Let's say good morning to Pastor KL.
Oh, yeah.
Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today?
I am well, thank you. How are you doing over there?
I am doing so well, so well, so well.
Well, thanking God for that. You know, we're talking today about, you know, again, we're continuing with these prisoners who, you know, are getting away. So you got this one who's being transported from L.A. to wherever this Brown County is, and on the layover in Chicago, you know, the transporter goes to get you something to eat. And while he's going to get you something to eat, you manage to escape. And now they've suspended the transporter. They're also upset because your company doesn't get paid until that prisoner has been dropped off at this location. So I don't know, Pastor Kale, since when you care so much about these people eating? That's why this sounds fishy to me. What goes on in your head when you hear this story?
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, in my former life, you know, I've been in the back of that car with some new bracelets for, you know, quite a few times. You know, and at no point have I ever
been able to say, hey, I know the food where I'm going is going to be bad. Can we stop at the bodega and get a sandwich? You know, I've never been able to, you know, say, hey, can you stop at McDonald's, you know, before I get here? So I just don't understand how we say, hey, you're hungry? I can eat. You know, I don't know where they do that at. So, yeah, I think it was definitely an inside job. You know, like I said, I've never been able to stop or have the police officer or whoever the transporter stop and go get me, you know, a $2 ride. So, no, I can definitely inside.
Absolutely. Especially when you hear when they say that when they looked on the video, they see that the prisoner had gotten one of the handcuffs off. How? Because
now,
just like
now,
Brother
listen,
Al
those,
said, come on now.
But for those of us who've been in these bracelets, let me tell you something. You fighting because it's too tight.
That's right. That's
and every
right.
time you move and try to wiggle out, it gets tighter. I've never in all of my arrestees life ever say, hey, he's a little too loose. Can you tighten this up for me, please? No,
yep.
I'm sorry.
Yep. That's why this looks so fishy. Because I agree. Like I said, Brother Al has said it. I've said it. I have not known anybody else who has ever, you know, had the luxury of being comfortable with some handcuffs on. So how in the world did you manage to? No, I agree. This ain't something that, oh, oops, he got away. Nah, I would have suspended him. If let me tell you something. If you were not a part of it, I would have fired you. Because this could have been a mass murderer, a serial killer, and your negligence. You didn't do something right. Would you have fired him or would you have suspended him?
I'd have fired him. I mean, now I look at the other side of it, too. If it was not on the inside, then I would have waited. Because I'm out now. I would have waited. And then I'd have killed him. Because you don't know
what?
That I'm loose.
You
not,
know
not, not only that. Not only that. Let's think about it. You went to get me a sandwich. Now, how do I eat this sandwich? If that's what it was going to be. You'd have had to loose me from the shackles in the back of me.
Yep.
So what was your plan with this sandwich? Were you going to feed me?
Yeah. Yeah. Now that you mention it, you're right. Somebody would have had to get some bracelets set free because he's not going to sit there and feed him. You're right. You're absolutely right. So somebody would have had to had to get free. So yeah, this here, you messed up. You messed up. You another idiot who thought you could get away with something that the others did not get away with. Man, oh man, oh man,
right.
Oh man. All right, we're talking about this teen killer, and you know she's serving life for, you know, murdering her mom. She's been in there since 2005. She's never getting out. She's serving life. This ain't life with parole. No. She's serving flat life. And now you smart enough because you taking it. You got free book money. They can't give you no more time outside of life, Pastor KL. But all the other idiots who are involved, they say 13 and all. Everybody else got something to lose except for you. How stupid are we?
Yeah, like you said, she has too much time. I mean, it's not that she has too much time. She got time. She got lifetime. She got nothing else to do. So she can just think and plot. You know, they're some of the best lawyers, you know, from cellmates because they got nothing to do but study. And that has to do but read, so they create this stuff and they figure this stuff out and they add it all together, one and one, two and two, four. They add it all together and they look at the loopholes because, again, they have nothing else to do but go ahead and research all this stuff. You know, here you are on the outside
thinking this is a great idea. You didn't research nothing. You just going to take a chance. You taking a chance on somebody that can't lose. The only person that can lose is you. So, I mean, that to me, that's crazy.
You have nothing to lose. They have sentenced you. You know you are going to die there. You have nothing else to live for. So, you know what? Let me, it's like the enemy. How many more? I know I'm sentenced to death. How many more can I take with me? And you working inside of the prison system, you're going to give your job away by giving social security numbers of other inmates and private information regarding their visitors. There's nothing that's safe out here. You can't even go visit somebody in jail and not have to worry about it.
Wow.
What a dope. Now your family is subjected to what now? Because you're going to jail. Oh, you definitely going to jail. You ain't get no fine. Right. You going to jail behind this. And again, like Brother Al said, yeah, you'll be cellmate right next to the one who helped you. And she going to be snickering because she got free books. She can't, they can't make her pay it back, Pastor KL. No, nothing.
Right.
I don't know. This went on, let's say for argument's sake, it went on for a year and a half, 2 years, before they figured them out, right? So you got free books for a whole year and a half. So they can't make you pay this back. They can't make you pay and do any more work than you were already doing for it. Yo, you talk about mastermind. You can't get no more time.
That's bananas.
Okay. Man.
That's bananas.
Talk about some plotting. Woo. I don't know. Thank you for joining us today. I had some stories that were left over from last week that I definitely wanted to talk to you gentlemen about. And one of the things they were talking about, they say they call them empty nesters, and we all know what an empty nester is. You know, those are the parents who, you know, you have children in the home. And when all the children leave the home, they call it empty nesters. Now, they've done this study, and they're saying the empty nesters resent the boomerang kids. And what's happening is, I guess because of the economy, you know, when you leave the home as adults, you have to move back in with your parents sometimes. And they're saying adults who move back home after moving away are causing their parents stress and conflict. And they're saying that the parents whose adult children moved back into the family home saw a decline in their quality of life and well-being. And the ages were, they said the ages of the parents were from 50 to 75. And they took the survey among 17 countries. And they said that the parents are really having a difficult time because, see, now when you're an adult and you move back home, oh, we got some issues that we got to deal with. So I don't want to say the issues that they're listed. I want to talk to you gentlemen and think about some of the things. Now, whether you allow it or not, whether you allow it or not is something different. But I want to take the time. I want, Brother Al, I want you to talk about one of the things you could face, just one of the things you can face. You're a 50-year-old parent. Your children are adults, and they need to move back home, and you say yes. What's one of the problems that you will probably experience from an adult child moving back home.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I had to go mute real quick talking to this kid. It's so funny that you came up with this because this is what I went through. So I'm like an expert. One of the things that you go through is that, you know, when they move back in, because they are children, we get married, so you know what, got nowhere to go. So you know what, come on back, get yourself together. So one of the problems that I experienced when he came back home, they figure, okay, I'm grown, I can do what I want to do. Oh, no, there's still rules up in here. So they don't want to follow rules of your house. That was the biggest thing that I went through. You don't want to follow rules of my house because you figure, hey, I'm grown, so I ain't got to follow the rules. So that was one of the, biggest things I dealt with, following my rules.
So what was one of the rules that your son had a problem following?
Cleaning up after yourself. No smoking in my house because, you know, they get a little older. And now you want to.
Brother Al.
I'm sorry. Okay. I got you.
Come on.
So I'm going to say cleaning up after yourself. Cleaning up after yourself.
Now, do you anticipate, because, see, they weren't cleaning up in their own house, so they bring these bad habits back in, you know, into your home? Or do you think he just got lax when he got with you?
No, I experienced that it was when he came back home, because when he was out with his old place, you cleaned up. So what's the difference?
Okay,
you know, I guess
okay.
He figured, well, this is your house, I ain't got to clean up. Oh, no. You got to clean up.
Wow. Okay. Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting that you would keep your own house clean, but when you moved back in with me, you felt that you didn't have to clean up. Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Wow. Pastor KL, what's one of the, you know, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but what if not, what is one of the things that you probably would experience that these parents are saying, this is messing with my health and well-being, having you back up in this house? What would be something that you probably would experience having an adult child move back in the home?
Well, first let me put this disclosure that if any of my children are listening and you need to come home, find someplace else. Find someplace else. With that. I want to keep our relationship well.
Wait, before you go, I want to stop you right there. Why are you saying find someplace else?
Because you can't disturb my peace. Listen, this is what I've learned. And this is what I've learned even as from myself. When you get grown and get on your own, you really think that your stuff don't stink. You know, I think one of the problems that I would have with any one of my children is that they want to come and go as they please. In my house, that wouldn't work very well. It wouldn't work very well. You know, there's a time that my doors need to be locked. You know, if you come in or try to come in on the time after that, you'll stay in the yard. I'll put a blanket out there.
Now, so I got a question. So,
yes.
When your children were there, what was the curfew time? What was the curfew time?
The curfew time was 10 o'clock.
Okay, so now that they're...
Unless you had a prom or something.
Okay. So now that they're adults and they need to move back home, do they still have a curfew? Mm-hmm.
In my house, yes. You're not going to come in and out in the middle of the night because I can't be, my peace can't be disturbed. I work. So you're not going to be waking me up.
Oh, okay. So what's the curfew time?
10 o'clock.
Whoa.
I go to bed at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. That's what I'm trying to say. You might need to go find somewhere else.
Wow.
Listen, watch this. Even when you go to a shelter, there's a curfew time.
Absolutely, I've heard
you just can't go in and out of the shelter anytime you want to because, you know, you feel like staying out with Joe, then let Joe keep you up for the night. Let him put you up for the night. But you need a place. So you have to abide by the rules.
Wow. I think I need to start implementing that in my house now. I think, and it's not because they disturb me. Because, listen, when I go to sleep, can't nothing wake me up if I'm really sleeping. So they don't disturb me. But I think I need to start setting some new rules around here. 10 o'clock. Okay. Well, Brother Al, let me ask you something. What do you think about that? What do you think about the curfew time?
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. You in my house. And plus, you know what that do too? That makes you hurt and want to get out. Because you don't want that curfew. So if I give you a curfew and you don't like it, you're going to work harder to get your own place. So I like it.
Wow. Boy, are men different from women. Wow.
And you understand, Pastor Steph, when we get older, right, and we done did our part of raising you and you're out of the house, okay, we want our time. It's our time now. Now you done went out there because you're rushing and you're struggling now. And we don't want to say no because we love you. We want to take care of you. But once we tell you it's okay to come back, now you're looking to make a career. You want to stay there forever. So if I implement all these rules and you don't like them, that going to stretch you harder to say, you know, I got to get my own place. You sure do.
Let me just say something on that one. You know, Brother Al was nice and said we love you and we don't mind you coming back. I love you, but I do mind. I mind. And if you have no other place to go, then I'll let you come back. But I want you to know from the beginning, I mind. I want you to know from the beginning that I'm inconvenient. I want you to know from the beginning that I'm being disturbed. I want you to understand how uncomfortable I am with this situation. Yeah, I love you, but I'm very uncomfortable. Because when I dropped you out of the nest, I expected you to fly and soar away from me.
Wow.
Hey, Pastor Kel, I go one more. When my son asked me, could he come out? My first question was, you can't stay with your mother? Your mom ain't got no room? What about your boy? You say you say he your best friend? He ain't got no extra space for you.
Oh, wow. What's some of the other issues that you think, that you may have experienced, Brother Al, when your son came back to live? How old was he? Well, how old was he?
Okay, let's see. My son came back. He was 20, I would say probably about 23, 24 he came back. And one of the issues was helping me pay something in the house. You're not going to just lay up here and use light and gas and all that stuff and not help pay for something. So that was one of the big issues too. You didn't want to pay. Oh, you're my father. You shouldn't be charging me. What? You should have told me that. You should have told me that before you moved in because you would have came back.
Wow. So, Brother Al, you didn't set when you said okay, it's okay to come back. You didn't set any rules.
Yes, I set a whole bunch of rules. And he was okay with it. Of course, he okay with it because he needed a place to stay. I mean, I put all type of stuff here. Cause I said, Pastor, I ain't gonna make him comfortable. I don't want you to be comfortable. I want you to be uncomfortable, so to push you to strive to get your own place. I put all type of rules there. I told him, I know you 20 something years old, but in my house we serve the Lord. So every Sunday you go on to church. But then I don't know what. Did you hear what I said? Sunday we go on to church. I ain't got nothing to worry about. The good Lord said, come as you are, put on your sneakers and your shirt, yeah, come in.
So wait, Brother Al, go back to the one that you brought up with he didn't want to help pay no bills. That wasn't one of the rules?
Yes, that was in the rule. And here was the thing, Pastor Steph. I tried to make it easy on him. I told him before he did it, he was working. I said, okay, what day you get paid on? We looked at the calendar to see what day he get paid. I said, you know what?
I don't want to kill you. You got in this situation because you didn't take care of responsibilities like you needed to. So I said, check it out. This is what I'm going to do. I looked at how much he got paid and everything. I said, I ain't going to kill you because I want you to save. I said, give me $150. $150 a month. That was it, Tasha. $150 a month. Save your other money and do what you need to do. We looked on the calendar. I said, what day is comfortable for you? We picked out a date. I said, okay, every month on this date, I don't want to have to ask you for this money. I want you to come and say, Dad, here go the rent money. And the crazy thing about it, Pastor Scott, that $150 wasn't going to break me. I was going to take that $150 and save it for him because he's bad with saving. And he had a problem with that.
Wow. He really expected that after he agreed that he would pay this $150 a month, that he could renege and it would be okay.
And that's what he thought. It kind of backfired on him.
Wow. I got a question, but as you were talking, I forgot it. I wanted to ask you, hopefully it'll come back. Pastor K.L., what's one of the other issues you would have if your children needed to move back in? What do you think would be a problem?
Well, first of all, let me just say this. I have a problem with Brother Al. Because Brother Al said that he gave his son a condition of $150 a month. So to me, in my mind, that means you can stay here a couple of months. I don't want your money. Because you're not staying here the past 4 weeks. I want you to be able to save what you got. And you know,
wow.
I'm not paying $150 a month because, listen, watch this. I've learned this in Tennessee, that they feel that as long as I'm paying my bill, I can do what I want. Well, I'm paying my $150, why I can't do this? I'm paying this, why I can't do that? You can't tell the landlord, I'm paying my $800, leave me alone. No, I don't want you to tell me you're paying me nothing. You need to go in 4 weeks. Now, the other problems I'm going to have is that I'm going shopping for two. I'm making dinner for two. Now I got to make dinner for three because you might be hungry. No. See, because I'm not taking your $150 a month, I'm still on the same budget. My power bill is supposed to be the same thing. My water is supposed to be the same thing. You need to take a bird bath. You need to get a bucket, fill it up, and every morning just dip in it. But you don't need to be able to spend too much of my stuff. I'm still on a budget.
Wow. Woo, baby. But Brother Al, did you have any other problems?
Oh, yeah, I had a ton of problems. The other problem that was a really, really big problem for me was him being clean as far as the house and himself, because I'm a very clean person, so I had an issue with that. He'd come in or whatever. I'm like, so you just ain't going to take a shower or nothing. You know what I'm saying? You just go, that's just how it's going to run. You're too old for that mess. I'm going to embarrass him. You're going to come up in here and say, you ain't going to take a shower. You cool with that. Or when he did take a shower, he go in there, and we spoke about this before, Pastor Seth, but they don't know. You done turned the shower water on, the shower water running, and you in there ironing clothes and getting yourself together. Okay, I tell you what, I'm going to fix you real nice. I done told you several times. See, I know where the main water valve at. So when you got that water running, I'm counting the time. I got the timer on. And then when he get in the shower and that timer goes off, I go right downstairs and turn the water off. Hey, Pop, something wrong with the water. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Ain't nothing wrong with it. It got cut off. You should have been in the shower while you was in there ironing your clothes and talking on the phone and yapping. You should have been in the water. So time's up. That's crazy. Well, then that's why you need to get your own place.
Wow. So I got to ask. Taking a shower, Brother Al. What's that?
Say that again, Pastor, right here.
What's the problem with taking a shower? Why was that an issue?
I don't have no clue.
Because I'm sitting there, and he was, and then, like I said, as he got older, I found out he was just nasty. And I'm like, where did you get that from? His mother's a clean person. I'm a clean person. Where did you get this from? I'm telling you, I don't know where it came from.
Well, let me ask you something. Do you think it could have been part of a depression, of being depressed?
I don't care how depressed you are. You wash yourself. I'm sorry. There's no excuse. The only excuse I can accept, if you're homeless and you ain't got nowhere to go, you ain't got an option, you ain't got a place to shower, I can accept that. But when you got a shower, I don't care how depressed you are. Get in the shower and be depressed. I don't care what you do.
There's no excuse not to wash. When it's available, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Pastor. I can't do it. Next, you're going to say he got mental health. He's crazy. That's why he showers. Even crazy people get in the shower.
He's crazy as I don't know what, but he's in the shower.
Pastor Steph, you know what? I don't think you are keeping in mind is that as soon as you say, Dad, Mom, I need to come back home, I'm depressed. That ain't true. I'm depressed. Because I got to think about, you know, listen. At first glance, you think about it and you say, this is my baby. But when you really sit there and ponder that this old man is coming back to your house and you realize all the arguments you had when they were a child, now he's an older child. Because, listen, he can't pay his bills. He's an older child. That's what he is. He's an older child. You know, so now I got to deal with this child from another age bracket who think he grown but couldn't maintain. I'm depressed. I'm having mental anguish. Consider me.
Well, this is why this came up. Because it says, the findings show that returning home was correlated with a decline in parents' quality of life when there were no other children in the parental home. Parents enjoy their independence when their children leave the home, and refilling an empty nest may be regarded as a violation of this life course stage. This is exactly why this is coming up, because they have found that as when you thought your children were gone, and you thought your children were gone for good, and you started living a brand new life, that now when the children returned home, that's why I was breaking down all the different issues, you know, that could, you know, excuse me, either that have happened, as in Brother Al's case, or that could potentially, you know, surface because now they're adults moving back home. And
I just want to say, consider this now, because we've been talking about the man child coming back. But think about that woman child that come back with her kids. Lord Jesus, when they drop off the kids, you get attitude. Now you're dropping off the kids and yourself, so the kids are going to be there too? Man, I'm depressed. Listen, I want to go into a shelter. I'll let you say this.
Right. And then Pastor Steph, you put a monkey wrench in my thing, because now I didn't turn your room into my office now. I got my computer,
right,
my printer, my fax machine in there. You know, it's an office now. Now you company disrupted my office space. Like, come on, man. You gotta see what a comment my son asked me. But Dad, you put that stuff in my room. I said, did you pay any bills up here? This is my room. My house. So now you got a choice. You can sleep on the couch. You can sleep on a couch, or you can sleep outside. How you want to do it? We got a nice backyard.
No,
got some grass like this.
And you can't even sleep on the couch. I got a nice couch. I don't want your pissy babies on my couch.
I got
it. I don't want your pissy children on my couch. You change their pamper when you can remember. But I got to smell it all through the house, and then piss all over the floor. And then you got one of them children that can't wait, so they take off their own pamper. No, I don't need that in my life. Now let's go to another thing. We ain't charging you because we want you to go to work. So now you're worse, like you leaving these bad behind children that have no discipline in my house, touching everything. No, 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 no.
See, I didn't have an issue with no kids, because my son didn't have any children. My son didn't have no children, so I got spared on that one.
No, you didn't, Brother Al, because he was the daggone child. You ain't get spared.
Right, right.
You ain't get spared.
You the one that wasn't changing.
I'm talking about from the grandchildren.
He didn't change his own pamper. You didn't change his own pamper. He didn't go to the shower.
That's what I'm talking about.
You're right on that one.
Now, had he moved in with kids, you would have had to leave the house. Because if he came in with all these issues, there's nowhere in the world you would have been able to stay. Because remember now, I agree with Pastor KL. When you say, all right, you're going to pay $150. Well, first of all, I want to change this terminology of rent. See, in this house, they don't pay rent. Because let me tell you what rent is. Rent is $800 and $900. Rent is $1,000. The little couple of dollars that you give, that's not rent. Now, if you were telling him all he had to do was pay $150, that's not rent. So already you came in deficient. Because if you could only give comfortably, because I get the concept. If I take from you, I'm with Pastor Kale. If I take from you, that's less you have to move out. If I tell you per month, that automatically says you're going to be here a minute. So, you know, you're kind of in a catch-22 situation, you know, in some cases. However, when he came in, he ain't need to bring no kids because he was worse. You could understand a baby who doesn't want to wait and takes off his own pamper, but you cannot understand a grown person who doesn't even want to bathe. There's no. I agree with Pastor. You talking about you gonna sleep on my couch? Oh, no. You about to sleep on the desk. Because when you sleep on my couch, now you wearing my couch out. When you leave, I got to buy a new couch because now it's no longer good enough for people to visit. No, when you allow a child to come back home, you really need space for them. Now, I'm not saying you don't tell them yet. But what I'm saying is this has got to be a – this is why they say that when these kids come back home as adults, that there are issues. Because this thing got to be worked out. Because just like the both of you said, your life has moved on as independent people. That's what the article is talking about. You will sleep on my couch. Not only that, I want the two of you to tell me, why I gotta, every time I go to the kitchen, I gotta see you laying down. See, now I'm already mad. I don't care if it's midnight and it's bedtime. I don't care if I gave you the 10 o'clock curfew. Every time I go to the kitchen or the dining room, I gotta see you laying on the couch. I don't care how much you give me. I'm already mad. Brother Al, where did he sleep?
Well, he was on the couch at first. Then I moved some stuff because I thought about that of the wearing out my couch, and I did keep a bed in there. So it was a futon bed with the couch that the futon, and I had to clear some stuff out, and I made the futon bed for him in the room because again, like you said, I thought about that too. You wearing my doggone couch out. So he was on the futon. And again, exactly what you said. Every time I walk around, you land out. I'm like, you got to be the laziest 20-something year old. And go outside or something. Sit outside. You know what I'm saying? Go, you know, why every time I walk past here, you land out. While I'm in there cleaning up, you land down. This ain't going to work for me. But see, you always got to have a plan B. See, I had a plan B.
had a plan B. The plan B was if all things fell, I'm going to burn the house down, collect the insurance money, and I'm going to go about my business.
No, I'm not burning my house down, brother Al.
Look, I get a brand new house for the insurance money, so I'm all good.
No, but see, now they're investigating you for potential arson, and if you slipped up, you going to jail. So you ain't got no house, you ain't got no insurance money, and you got a jail bid? No.
No, I went on YouTube and I found out how to do it.
but you know what?
I think if you use, forget the insanity thing, but if you use, Your Honor, I had to bring my children and my grandchildren in, I was going to die. So I just took us all out. I think he'll let you slide. Listen, because I think he got some grandkids that he understand about. Not only that, Pastor Steph, I want to piggyback off of what you said. You know, he in there eating your food, and you eat in there laying down. Just think about this. I come home from working all day. You've been watching YouTube. You've been playing your video game, and I know there was a last piece of chicken that I had last night, and I come home with my mouth watering for this last piece of chicken. Go in the refrigerator, and the chicken is gone. Ooh. No, no, no. That's a fight. That's a fight.
Ooh, it's fighting time.
When the chicken is gone and it's me and my wife, I know who took it. But my wife ain't going to take the last piece of chicken. I know it was you.
Oh,
you don't contribute nothing. No, no. Your children eating up all the cornflakes. You know what I mean? I just don't understand. I don't. You can't even reserve to a bowl of cornflakes. The chicken is gone. The cornflakes is gone. And then if there's cornflakes, there ain't no milk because the baby need milk for the bottle. The devil is a liar. No.
Brother Al is the one who experienced, but it sounds like Pastor KL is more traumatized than Brother Al was. Oh, my God.
Just thinking about it.
Now, I'm telling you, it is an adjustment. It is an adjustment. And when I read this article last week, I had to laugh because I said, man, it's so true. Now, I got a couple more minutes. Neither one of you brought up this. What about, especially for you, Brother Al, with the man? Child, you know, what happens when he wants company, female company over? What was that rule like? What was that? Did you have that experience?
Oh, yeah. I had that experience. I had that experience. That was easy. You got to go. Hey, look, bro, I'm having company tonight. You're going to have to exit stage right.
No, not you, Brother Al, him. If he wanted female company.
Oh, you said if I was having female company or him?
Him.
Oh, no. You didn't have that in the house. You better find somewhere else to go. That was a dead deal then. Y'all can sit outside. You know what I'm saying? Y'all can sit outside or, you know, I did have one and I was in the house and he was in the living room. They were sitting there talking. You know, but that was about it. Now, later on at night and having female company when I'm not there, that ain't happening. Get you a hotel room or I don't know what you're going to do, go to her house, but not up in mine. No, sir.
Okay.
Not a hotel.
Wow. Now, see, I'm mad about the hotel because that means if you spend the hotel money, you dipping into move money. You see?
That's what I was talking about. See, Pastor, the thing to me was it wasn't that he was paying rent. I told him to give me $150. And the reason I told him that because my son is horrible with money. So I said, if I can get this money from him and help him save, I'm trying to help him get out of here quick as possible. So I wasn't spending the money. I was taking that money, putting it to the side to help him because he's horrible when it comes to money. So if he'd have been there forever.
I get it. I'm talking about I'm letting you keep a couple of dollars so you can move, but now because you need to entertain your lady friends, I agree with you 100%. Go to a hotel, or you got, or if she got a spot, go to her place. But see, if you go to a hotel, you dipping into move money. So you doing other things with the money other than moving. So now I'm mad. No, no. See, no, we got Pastor KL, you dipping in the move money.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm looking at a lot of different things. First of all, if you, my daughter, talking about you want a friend over, your friend need to find someplace for you to live. If you that cute that you got a friend, y'all need to work this out. You know, if listen, back in the days, we used to sell our children, you know, to another family. Let's work this out. You know, give me some money for my daughter and her children. Listen, I give you some money for my daughter and her children. These children ain't what you want. I'm telling you, they ain't what you want. So if this is your baby daddy, your baby father, whatever, then to me, I'm already looking at you sideways because you will have your children and the mother of your children be evicted or get packed up out of their original home and have to move back home with mama. You ain't worth nothing. So you definitely gonna be sitting in my house enjoying my air, enjoying my heat, getting my Perrier water. No, no. And then when you leave back to your house, back to your comfort, I still got to deal with Bam Bam and Pebbles? No, 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 no.
Wow. Yeah.
Pastor Steph, here's one that they didn't put on there either, that it tried to happen, but it didn't. Hey, Dad, you doing okay? I'm doing fine. Hey, Dad, you think I can hold your car? Hell no, you can't hold my car. No.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Wow. No, you can't borrow the car either. Oh, my goodness gracious. Wow. So you're not contributing. You're not cleaning. You're not cleaning yourself. You want to have a friend over, and you want to borrow the car. Okay, it's been time for you to go. Oh, my goodness gracious. All right, Brother Al, what are you telling? What are you telling these empty nesters when it comes to their children coming to the door or calling on the phone and saying, I think I need to move back home? What's your word of advice?
My advice would be, is there anything that I can do to help you not come back? Is there anything that I can do to help you? Because, you know, once they come back, that's when all hell breaks loose, for real, seriously. And I'm being straight. I don't care how good your child is or what. Once they come back, you know, and we don't want to let them be in the street, you know, but once they come back, that's where the issues start. So I would say, ask them, well, what is there anything I could do to help you out where, you know, you're a month short? Okay, I'm going to spot you that. Anything I could do to help you not come back, that's what I would say, ask your children.
Okay. Pastor KL, the phone call comes in or there's a knock at the door. Excuse me, what are we saying?
Well, if there's a knock at the door with the children, we're not home. The phone
you
call, we don't really, we don't know what you want. But I'm saying, listen, I'm with Brother Al. Do I need to pay 2 months in advance? I mean, what do I need to do? Because there's no more room at the inn. You know, I mean, you used to complain about your room was too small when you lived here. Now you want to go back in that room with three children. No, there's no more room at the inn. It's not. I got a manger in the back. You know, it was good enough for Jesus. You know, it could be good enough for you. But we're not doing it. We're definitely, I just can't. Now, I may get overridden because the mother in my wife may say, okay, well, they're coming, these are my children, da-da-da-da-da. But then I'm going to have to move. I'm going to have to find me somewhere to stay for those couple of months. Well, I can't do children for too much longer. I'm too old. And these children now, they have no discipline. They go to bed when they want to go to bed. No, I can't do it. Not me. It's gonna start a rift in my house. I already know that.
Wow. All righty, gentlemen. Woo! Have you contributed to this conversation? Well, thank you so much, and we pray you have a blessed day.
You have a blessed day, too. Pastor Steph, you need to ask this to the women. I would love to hear their response.
They're going to let them in. Pookie and Ray Ray coming in. They're coming in with guns, and they're coming in with weed. They're coming in.
We'll find out. I'm going to ask the ladies. All right, now we'll see if Pastor KL is correct. You know what it is. What's their thought? All righty. Thank you so much, gentlemen. Have a wonderful one.
You too.
Thank you. All righty. We're gonna take these last few minutes and make sure we hold hands and hold hearts as we go before the Lord. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much. You've been so great again today, God, not just because you tapped us on the shoulder and you said, get on up, but because after you said, get on up, you allowed us to have such a stimulating conversation, God, and only you know how this has aided so many parents. You know, it's one thing when our hearts and our minds tell us to do something on our own, but this is why we always ask, God, that you order our steps, because sometimes your yes is our no, and sometimes your no is our yes, and we always want to give weight to your will and your way. And we're thanking you, God. We're thanking you for all of these conversations. That even through laughter, there's so much information given. There's so much feedback toward these articles, whether they are worthy of our whether they're worthy of us even talking about it. And we're thankful, God, that you have spoken today. You've definitely spoken. You know, there are things that we just can't see ourselves doing. There are things that we just don't want to do. There are things that we want to do that you may not be in agreement with. And this will hopefully send us to your altar to just get some clarity, just to make sure we're not saying yes when we should be saying no, and we're not saying no when it should be a yes. Thank you that even something as small as this can be discussed, because this is not a small issue at all. You know, Brother Al said that, you know, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And could that have been an opportunity for this young man to be introduced to you at a certain time in his life where it would have changed the trajectory of his entire existence and future? Only you would know whether he took the bait or not. Only you would know your ultimate plan for his life. So again, we thank you for all of these conversations, God, and we lift up, you know, even the woman in the prison who, you know, who's there for the rest of her life, but who's still a menace even behind bars. For the questionable transporter, you know, and we pray that he was not intentionally setting someone free, but we pray for him being alert if that's the case, that next time he would know better, because again, who was he allowing to get free? We ask you, God, to be with the little girl who has burns over her body because she just fell into the hot pit. God, we have so many potential dangers that lurk all around us as well as our children, as well as our grandchildren, our nieces and nephews. And, God, we ask you to just continue to cover them, God, that we don't have these stories. And we thank you. We thank you, not because it wasn't supposed to happen, but because your staying hand is always there, because your rescue plan is always there. Thank you, God, for just loving us beyond measure. Again, when it should have been yes, you said no. When it should have been no, you said yes. When we have willingly walked into things that we were so careless about, but just your rescue plan is phenomenal. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you for just always being there, even when we don't even fathom how, when, why. Thank you. We love you, God, and we thank you for a fantabulous week. Thank you for all of the conversations that stimulated change, that stimulated rethinking, that stimulated remorse and repentance, that stimulated a change in what we do and how we see things. Thank you. Thank you. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, again, you know, just all you got to do is go with the news. All you have to do is go with the news, and it stimulates so much thought, so much controversy, you know, so much change at times, you know, and, you know, even hearing and listening to the experience, you know, that Brother Al laid out helps us to make sure that we ask more questions, that we include more information, that we don't always do the things that we may want to do, or we may go into things blindly. You know, I'm going to be honest. You know, as time goes on, I'm thinking about my life a lot more because my children are adults now. And as a mother who has worked hard, I'm becoming real sensitive to how my girls accept what I've given them in the past, what I'm giving them now, and what I will give them futuristically as God spares all of our life. And I have been very candid and open about a lot of my personal experiences. I've been a pastor over a church of what I tell you misfits, and I don't mean that in a critical. And you may say, well, misfits is misfits, but people who were troubled, young people. I've always pastored over young people, and God has said, if you want to learn, look across the room. You don't have to go through anything. You don't have to experience anything that I've already set before you. Pay attention. And I'm becoming real sensitive to God rescuing his people. You know, there's this serious rescue of his people. He is really doing whatever he needs to do to rescue his people from pain and turmoil, despite the fact that he says rejoice in trials and tribulations. Because, see, those things are going to happen automatically. Trials and tribulations in life are going to happen as long as we live here on this earth. However, it doesn't mean that you should continually walk in with your eyes closed. You have been given fair opportunity to get it right, because he needs to help you because there are going to be other things that he's going to let go so you can go through. And there are going to be things that you're just going to go through. So the other side, he's going to make sure, and he's been doing a fantastic job at ensuring that we don't go through things we don't have to go through. And I'm real sensitive to watching this shenanigans and this stupidity and these bad decisions and this nasty attitude and this shrugging of the shoulder and this, oh, well, because, see, that's how you end up back home. When your parents have invested in you, because God has invested in them to be able to invest in you, take what you are given and accept it as a rescue plan. You know, there's a lifeline that's being thrown out to you before you actually need that lifeline. Be smart. Be smart. Pay attention that God is already, you know, Auntie Pam and Grandma, always, that God sees around the corner. He already knows what you're going to be up against. So before you get there, let me help you out. And I'm real sensitive about me getting older and God giving me, and I've given you, and God is giving me even more to give you now because I'm much more knowledgeable and I'm much more wise. But you want to learn from other people. You want to learn from your friends. You want to learn from this world. You want to learn from social media. You want to learn from Love and Hip Hop. I'm real sensitive. So you know what? A lot of me says, you go ahead and do you. Fall, bust your head, do whatever you need to do, but don't come back here. Because, see, I'm going to be 56, God spares my life. And, see, I'm with the group that says my quality of life is now being adjusted because, see, I got to worry about you. No, I had to worry about you from 0 to 18. I don't want to have to worry about you unnecessarily. I don't want to have to worry about you doing stupid stuff, being careless, being reckless, because, see, you got to do it the way you need to do it so that you can learn at the rate you need to learn. See, I'm sensitive to that, because, see, that's messing with my quality of life. You now messing with, or at least attempting to mess with, how God has chosen for me to live right now. Now, as I get a little bit older, and I was a young parent, so I was allowed to raise you in my vibrant years. Now that I ain't so vibrant, you're not ripping away the rest of what I have. If you don't fall and bump your head, guess what? Don't come back here, because I'm not going to be sensitive to that. Not when I've tried to warn you. Not when I've done everything. And one thing my girls could never say is that I was never a safety net for them. God has really blessed them to have a mother to have worked hard to ensure that they did not have to go through certain things, or that they benefited from certain things, or that they got other things that other single parent households didn't get. So now what you're telling me as an adult, I'm going to do what I want to do, help yourself. As my mother would say, carry on, do what you do. And you and the Lord work that one out, because you're not messing with my quality of life. It means too much to me. It took too long for me to get here. You will not tamper with it. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my men for joining us today and really giving us some food for thought, sending us into a wonderful weekend. Thank you for hanging out with us all week and giving us the reason why we do what we do. Please do not miss the opportunity to accept Jesus as your personal Savior, because later is not promised to us. until Sunday. God spares our life, where we have the World Prayer Project at 9 o'clock. Come on in the room, because we don't know what we will be praying about and what we'll be praying for and who we'll be praying for. Don't miss that opportunity to send how many of the enemy's minions to flight. Until then, I love you.